2nd, 1977, I am sitting in my office with Ronald Cross. Ron has been interested for quite some time in old-time movies, and I've seen a couple of times his showing of Charlie Chaplin and Laurel and Hardy and what we call the old slapstick school, which many people enjoy because of lack of humor, supposedly, in many motion pictures today. I thought it'd be interesting to talk with Ron how he got interested in this, and sort of a spin-off on that, he became interested in motion picture theaters in Alliance, and we'll find out what he learned about them. How did you get started in this business, Ron?
Well, I guess first was I got a 16-millimeter silent movie projector as a Christmas gift from my parents in 1946. I think that's what got me started. And of course, I went to movies when I was growing up because that was in the days before television.
Yeah.
There wasn't much to do outside of that and radio. So.
So you had some background with this,
right?
And but you've collected old reels of movies, reproductions of them, haven't you?
That's right. I've been collecting them since 46, and I got into the Super 8 sound in 1972, collecting them.
Mm-hmm. What would you say, what kind of a library do you have of motion pictures?
About 130 titles right now, from mostly comedy, with emphasis on Laurel and Hardy, and some of the excerpts from Abbott and Costello feature films over the years, and Charlie Chase and some Chaplin and Three Stooges and that type.
Do you have any of the old Keystone comedy?
I have some in sound and silent, both that have been put together.
And Buster Keaton?
Some of his.
Some of his. So right. Some of the old group. What about Fatty Arbuckle? Do you have any of... Or he just appears in.
I have one of his in silent that he made in, I think it was about 1937. It's in silent, runs about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in a few that Black Hawk Films have done with a soundtrack added to it.
Well, now, when you've shown these around to a great many different audiences and at different times here in the community, the reaction usually is pretty hilarious, is it, to these?
Yes, I'd say so.
Is this typical just with old-timers, or do young people enjoy this, too?
Well, I usually get pretty good response with middle-aged or older people.
Yes.
Some children, it's hard for them to believe what's going on, but it varies.
Mm-hmm.
With the age group.
All right. And of course, at one time, this was standard fare, and theaters advertised that there was a short with Charlie Chaplin would draw almost as much as the feature length movie
right.
itself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got interested then, as a result of this, in some of the old-time motion picture places in Alliance which used to show these films.
Right.
And you've done some research now.
Mm-hmm.
How did you do this?
Well, I went to, I remember my father talking about going to the American Theater and the Ideal before my time, so I was curious to see what theaters were in Alliance. Some of them, of course, I knew and went to, and so I started researching. Took me about 4 or 5 months at Rodman Public Library here in Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And looked at probably 100 different reels of microfilm of the Alliance Review. I worked mainly from it.
Yes. Okay, well, what are some of the results of your research? What were some of the early theaters, or can you pinpoint the earliest, not a Nickelodeon maybe, but an early motion picture theater?
Well, if you go a little bit after the opera houses, which kind of overlapped into the movie theaters, one of the earliest ones I found was the Automatic Theater, as it was called, and that was listed as early as 1908 in the Lyons City Directory, Street Directory. And one of the other early ones was, of course, the Columbia, which I think is the granddaddy of all the movie theaters in Lyons. It was open almost 41 years. And it opened September 21st, 1908 as a playhouse and continued with plays and stock companies, which went through Alliance because of the railroad, which was close on Main Street. And they played the Columbia between New York and Chicago in those days. And up until 1914, the Columbia was mainly a playhouse, was a playhouse. Until it was, had extensive remodeling done to it in 1914, and then they began showing films there from then on with the stage plays through the years.
Yes. I can still remember they had once in a while what would be called vaudeville, along with the motion pictures. That would be in the 30s. Well, what were those early productions like, those films that they would show at the Automatic and the early Columbia?
Well, they were silent because sound, the Vitaphone system wasn't brought out till 1927. So I imagine they had usually a piano or organ to accompany the films in those early days. And when the Strand opened in 1927 on Main Street, it had an orchestra that would play to accompany the films until sound really got started, and that did away with the organ, piano.
What were some of the names? Did you come across other early motion picture theaters in Alliance?
Yes, there was the Lyric, which was located where Paul's Supper Club is now on Main Street, 253 East Main Street. That was an early one. The earliest listing I found for that was in 1910. It probably opened about 1910. It's difficult to pinpoint some of these early dates because there aren't that many sources available for them. And there was also the Orpheum, but I think that was more of a stage type theater instead of motion pictures. That was up on East Market Street. And the Princess was the came after the Automatic Theater. And the American at 523 East Main Street, past Alex Hardware, was going strong in 1910-1911. And of course, the Columbia was running. And then in 1911, the Ideal opened on Thanksgiving Day, November 30th. And
Did you know where the Ideal was?
The Ideal was located where Turner's Drugstore number 2 was for many years, at the alley there, past where the Cassidy Pettis bookstore was located.
I don't remember whether that was the name of it, but I remember years ago seeing the first version of Hitchcock's 39 Steps in that theater there.
The American went pretty strong. It had good stage shows too with the films. It was a silent theater until it burned in December 1927. And like the Columbia burned in 49, that was the only two theaters that I found that had fires that forced them to close.
What was these fires were not the result of projection difficulties. They were something else that caused them.
Right.
Is that right?
The American was from the clipping that I have on it from the Lyons Review. The fire in the American was caused by an overheated furnace in the basement near the, under the stage. And the Columbia was blamed on spontaneous combustion.
What was the danger in those early years with motion picture projecting equipment? Was there much danger of fire from that?
Yes, because the early film was nitrate-based film, and it was very flammable, and it caught fire very easily. And the article that I have on when the American burned mentions that that got pretty close to the projectors at the rear of the theater, so
mm-hmm.
it was always a possibility of that happening
yes.
in the early days
mm-hmm.
until the newer type safety film came in the, I think, the late 20s, early 30s.
Mm-hmm. Well, now there was another theater, of course, that's been torn down to make way for Freedom Square. That was the old Morrison. When did that? How did that get underway?
Well, one of the early listings I found on that went back to the Square Garden Theater. It was called, I believe, it was in that location, 38 South Freedom, on the east side of Freedom Avenue, and it was, far as I could tell, was mainly for. Shows, stage shows, entertainment type thing. And then the Market House, under various names, was there for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I also found the Lyric Garden Theater was in near that site or on that site on Freedom. And then the Morrison opened in 1927. And was there through, going pretty strong through 1968 when it was closed in February of that year. It was pretty well run down at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So the Morrison would probably run a close second to the Columbia for length of time open,
mm-hmm.
over 40 years.
And now these were these locally owned, these theaters that we've been talking about?
Some, well, off and on. The managers varied too, I think every... The one that, the old Lyric that was where Paul's Supper Club is now, I think, changed every time the manager changed. They
mm-hmm.
changed the name of the theater. It had, over the years, four different names.
Yeah.
And the managers, I think, were mostly local people, and Boyd and Wallace and were two of them. And later on, Redding and Joe Gordon, of course, at the Mountain Union,
and, mm-hmm.
and there was one by the name of Peter Tender, T-E-N-D-E-R. He was manager of the Ohio when it was at Linden and Main, the first Ohio
mm-hmm.
theater. And Hartzell was a well-known one in the early days in the teens.
Mm-hmm.
He worked at the area of the Morrison before it was there.
Mm-hmm. I can understand that, you know, you get the Lyric and the Princess. These mm-hmm. were standard names, and Ohio is obvious, and Mount Union. But how did Morrison, do you know how that got the name?
That was named after a man who lived here in Alliance. I believe his name was initials J.A. Morrison. And he gave the theater the name, although I don't think he ever managed it,
mm-hmm.
from what I could tell in my research.
Mm-hmm.
The manager who opened its name, I can't recall right now, but Morrison financed it. It was remodeled from the old arcade, and
mm-hmm.
there were some old apartments there, and he got it going, opened in September 27.
Mm-hmm.
September 1st, 27, when it opened. It was quite a theater for its day.
Yeah, no, I remember hearing comments about that. It was considered a very plush place
right.
in Alliance
mm-hmm.
at that time.
I think it'd be interesting if you could go back and into the past and go into one of these theaters to see what it was really like. And it's hard now to tell.
Right.
There aren't that many photographs available on these early ones.
Yeah.
And,
I noticed the other day in Canton, there's a group over there trying to save the Palace Theater. Did
mm-hmm.
you notice about that?
I read part of that article in
mm-hmm.
the Canton Repository.
Of course, that was a little more of an elaborate theater,
right.
because Alliance wasn't that large to
right.
have that kind of architecture or decor
right.
on
and
the
it's,
inside.
It's a larger house
right.
seat.
Right.
I think the... probably the largest seating theater Alliance has had would be the Mount Union in Columbia. Columbia used to seat over 700 when
mm-hmm.
it was running with the balcony. And by the way, I think there were only three theaters in Alliance. Movie theaters had balconies, the Strand, Morrison, and Columbia. The Columbia at one time had two balconies, and one was removed. The upper one was removed, I think, in the 30 sometime, but I remember my father telling about that the Columbia had two balconies at one time.
Interesting. What, I see that you mentioned the Mount Union Theater. Let's just get the date that came in about what time, do you know?
Mount Union Theater opened February 8th, 1939, and I believe the manager's name was Oakes, OCHS, but I would have to verify that again. And it's still running and had some trouble this year and closing for about a month and a half, but it's open currently and running. And
Well, now when that opened, then there would be what, four motion picture places in Alliance.
when the Mount Union opened in 39, yes, there was the Columbia was still running the Morrison Strand, and then the Mount Union opened February 8th of that
Now,
year.
would that be the most at one in time?
No, the most recent would be out at the
No, I mean,
Palms Plaza.
yeah, I know out there, but no, I was thinking in terms of the number of motion picture places
Right.
running at one time. That would be the most, wouldn't it? Four.
Well, in see here in 1915, there were six
Is that right?
operating in the downtown area, Alliance. That I mean by that Main Street.
Yes.
And
I didn't realize there'd be that many. Seating wise, though, they wouldn't seat so many, would they?
no, very small. The ideal when it opened in 1911 was at a seating capacity of 300, leather-back chairs, as the ad said, free ventilation and the very latest in projection, the Modigraf old projectors. It was the, according to the ad, 1912 models. Well, they had the very latest equipment for that day. So, and well, when you mentioned seating capacity, I think of the Ohio was called the shooting gallery type theater because it was so narrow. It probably only seated a few hundred at the most. No balcony. It was all one floor, long and narrow. It's where Elizabeth's dress store is presently located, at the corner of Linden and
Now, would
Main.
those floors slant a bit, or if you were in the back, women's hats or someone tall in front of you would get in the way?
Right. I remember going as a kid to Columbia or Morrison. We'd usually head for the balcony because it slanted more than the main floor. The Morrison wasn't too bad, but the Columbia was pretty flat on the main floor, but had a angled balcony. It was pretty steep. And of course, the later theaters, Mount Union was better. It was a garage for a number of years before it became a theater. It was a Guy Slusser garage, and the Alliance Nash Company was there, and Studebaker was there as early as 1920. So it's been there a while too in the building.
What would be some of the standard fare in an early motion picture theater? What would be the program? You'd go, you'd pay your money and get your ticket. What would you see?
Well, in the early days, they were all silent, accompanied by a piano or organ or sometimes an orchestra. If I imagine if they had a better budget to operate on the Strand, had an orchestra, and the Morrison, and I imagine the Columbia did because it was larger, had a larger stage and orchestra pit. And oh, their feature films really didn't get started till, I would say, the early 20s. Although I did at one time own Chaplin's Kelly's Punctured Romance, which was produced in 1914. That was what we'd call feature film today. It ran about, I suppose, 50 minutes altogether, 45 minutes. And I noticed in researching in the Alliance Review on the microfilm that a lot of the, as you said earlier, Laurel and Hardy short subjects in sound, which ran 20 minutes at the most, would accompany a feature, and that would often outdraw the feature film in those days, in the like in the early 30s and late 20s.
Well, what would they put together in those early years, say when there were six small motion picture theaters, and if they didn't have maybe a feature film, would they have three or four shorter ones, or
Right. Mostly comedies and until they got into the travel logs that came, I suppose, in the 30s, I would say, with MGM and many of the travel logs that they produced. And then when they got into color, there were more of them, of course, and sports subjects and cartoons, of course, came later.
What about the old serials that they used to show, and you would be in a cliffhanger situation one week waiting for the next? Do you know about the time they came into vogue here?
I would say in the teens, 1915, 1914, the Black Hawk Films catalog, which comes out of Davenport, Iowa, lists many of the perils of Pauline and Pearl White serials, and the dates on those are in the teens or early 20s. And these went into the sound era with, I remember seeing one, The Iron Claw, when I was younger at the Morrison or Columbia. I don't even know which theater it was a serial, popular serial of probably the 40s.
What would be the cost over the years? These earlier ones, and the World War One, the 20s, the 30s. What did you come across any, or did it vary at the different theater depending on the plushness of it?
I imagine when the one ad I saw for the American theater, I think, was 10 cents for a seat or one ticket. I believe when the Strand opened in 1927, it was up to 40 cents. So that shows that prices those days went up too as the inflation went on and set in. And now most places it's $2, I imagine, or up depending on the area too, the theater where it's located. And the film, how much it costs to produce it.
Well, now, this used to support, like many other areas, Alliance used to support, of course, great many theaters and people, and of course, we all know television and different lifestyle and all has made inroads in that. Do you think you can project this? Are going to be theaters in the future, more theaters, or what's your prediction at this point?
Well, the way that television is going, I think it'll stay about the same, I think, in years to come. It's kind of hard to tell. I think if it hadn't been for the fire, I think the Columbia in 49 would have gone on more, but television then was getting started, really getting its hold on the American public. I think it might have gone on a few more years. Or moving now, I think, more and in the future towards the shopping mall type theater where there are other stores and businesses where people are find it more convenient to park their car and do shopping and maybe taking a film after dinner in the same shopping mall complex all in one under one roof. And I think we're moving more towards that and getting away from the individual building more, I think. And, of course, a lot of films that have only been in the theaters 2 years ago are now appearing on television, and that's Entertainment Part 2 is one that comes to mind that I saw out at the Plaza Shopping Center theaters just a year ago, and it was on television here a few weeks ago, one Sunday evening. So I think it's moving more towards more of the shopping mall theaters, away from the separate buildings. A lot of the older buildings, such as in theaters in Cleveland, are going to the twin theaters, dividing them in half. And, they're doing that more too these days, I think.
What's the rationale behind a twin theater? What makes this the feature today? I mean, why do they have the twin?
Well, they can operate maybe four features instead of two at the conventional one theater, such as the Mount Union here. out at the plaza here in Alliance, they can run up to as many as 4 different features at one time.
Mm-hmm.
The larger ones in Cleveland, some of them run 6 different theaters in one complex or one building, one shopping mall. So
mm-hmm. You have more variety.
More variety.
Yes.
Right.
Well, of course, a number of years ago, it used to be many people go to a larger place and there would be a theater that would show nothing but just newsreels. And it would be not only American, but it would be French and Italian and German. And, of course, television has sort of knocked that out because you get instant news. And do you think there would be anything else like that that motion pictures might? Can you see any trend, anything they might show that television couldn't copy?
Well, they've had Gone with the Wind on television. I thought that would never make it, but it did. And I think there might be a tie-in with theaters and television eventually. I think that's quite a few years off yet, though, because I think of the cost that would be involved with doing that. So that might happen in years to come, but I don't think it's too close right now. So we'll have to wait and see. Just see what happens.
Do you think there's any possibility that this might come around full circuit again? Some of the early motion picture theaters had a little live entertainment, a little vaudeville, or maybe serious presentation. It's fine to sit in your living room and watch in comfort. You don't have to go out, but there's something, you know, contagious about seeing a live performance, and no matter how well the motion picture or the television does it, you still miss. There's a barrier there. Do you think this might be something possibly, just little short type excerpts or vaudeville that you might go out somewhere to, as you say, one of the shopping malls, just a small, intimate theater and have a film and this type of entertainment?
That could happen. Of course, some of the newer theaters that are being built now, movie theaters, have no stage as such as we used to remember them in the earlier theaters. The floor just slopes down like to the screen, and so they'd have to build up some type of a stage. I think of the College Plaza Twin Cinema out here on Route 62 east of Alliance has no stage in either of the 2 theaters there. So usually, and you mentioned the older theaters, of course you think of the stage right away too.
Yes.
The Morrison and Columbia, and even the American had a stage because they had quite a few vaudeville shows in their early days. And the Columbia continued clear through the 40s, late 40s, with the Voice of the Turtle on the stage and Tobacco Road and plays at, right from New York. But they would have to have some type of stage or platform, I imagine, arrangement if they would get into that.
One of the features that the motion picture before television had difficulty with attendance, and they came up with a notion of bank night, and there were all sorts of variants in that. When did you find this first appearing in Alliance? Do you recall?
Well, I didn't look for that specifically, but I think that came in the 40s sometime. I remember an aunt and uncle of mine winning some money at the Morrison one time. That was, I suppose, late 40s, 48, 49, in there somewhere. So, but it was a big drawing card for the theaters at one time in Alliance, and they had dinnerware offers at various times. And the Margaret Roller Cooking School at the Columbia stage was popular. And the Columbia also, once in a while, would have boxing matches on the stage and draw the crowds in. But I can remember going to the Morrison Saturday nights, and it would be full house, both evening shows, and standing room only many times. The balcony would be full, and that would be late 40s, 47, 48 in there.
Sort of a combination of the lottery today with the motion picture on that.
And we probably should mention drive-in theaters,
Right, all right.
that play a part too, although they're not open all year round, of course. They both, the Park Auto east of Alliance and the Mid-City west of Alliance, opened in 1948 and have been going pretty strong ever since. So it's unbelievable that they've been there that long.
Right.
For over 25 years that they're still operating. And I also noted some of the playhouses that Alliance has had. The Rodman Playhouse right here on the Mount Union campus, opened in November 1954. The Main Street Opera House on East Main Street, where Corny Steakhouse is now located, was operating back in 1899, that far back. And Craven's Opera House on East Market was quite popular. And I've mentioned the Orpheum. I think that was some type of opera house too. So, and more recently, the Firehouse Theater opened in May of this year on East Market, where the fire department was located in Lyons for many years. It's going to undergo remodeling.
Well, it'll be for the Carnation Players.
Right.
We'll use that. Right. This will be a live theater there. Six, seven, eight, nine. Let's see. Now, I just ask you whether there were some little oddities or something unusual that you had come across. I know it's hard in the spur of the moment, maybe, to think of that, but I thought maybe some of the early theaters, operators or the type of film or something that happened in the course of a performance.
Well, one interesting thing I noted in researching the different theater buildings was the only one really built as a theater was the Columbia when it opened in 1908. All these other ones that I've mentioned have been occupied by some other type business or building of some type, from a millinery to a notion store, and the early ones to clothing stores and garages. I'm thinking of the Mount Union Theater was first a garage, a car garage, before it was a theater. But as far as I could tell, the only one really built as a theater was the Columbia, and that was put up in 1908 in a record time of 90 days.
Gee, that would be.
It was all wood construction and brick, of course, on the outside, which was another reason that it wasn't going to be remodeled, because the state had banned the use of wooden-type structures for theaters and back when it burned in 49. So that was one interesting item that I did note on the buildings themselves, that almost all of them except the Columbia had been something else before.
So they were converted in that sense to to that. Well, we're just having the anniversary this year of sound in the motion picture business came out. I guess Al Jolson's film in 27 was the one that introduced it. What was the name of that?
That was the Jazz
Singer. The Jazz Singer,
in 1927,
yes. Right.
The Brothers Vitaphone process, which was the disc record type, or we would call record today, disc, which was synchronized with the film, which was difficult to do too. And according to my notes here, the first Vitaphone showing in Alliance was at the Columbia on May 2nd, 1927. That was Don Juan with John Barrymore and Mary Astor. And there were also some short subjects. But the first all-sound motion picture with the sound on the film was opened at the Morrison, January 7th, 1929. That was Show Folks, which starred Eddie Quillen. That was sound on film. First in Alliance in January 29.
Did we have any Do you have any theaters here that went into 3D with this spatial type of another variance of that?
The only two I remember would be the Morrison and Mount Union. I remember seeing several over Canton at the Palace as early as 53 over there, and it was about the time that they were running them here at the Morrison. With both projectors running at one time, and then later on, the Mount Union showed the House of Wax, which would be about 1972, I would say. It was re-released without the wearing of the glasses. It was done some way through the lens of the projector, so... it was a fad, I think, and then it seemed to fade away, but they were doing short subjects in 3D as well as features in, from, I would say, 1953 through about 56 in there at the Morrison, and then later at the Columbia, the Mount Union, then later was late, I think it's 1972. With the House of Wax.
Oh, well, now this particular hobby you have with the shorts, are there other people in other areas who pick this up? Is this a sort of a trend, a group who do this?
Well, I know of no group. I wish I did. It's fun and good, I think, to exchange films. And I'm right now buying all of mine. I don't rent any at the present time. I used to rent some 16mm sound films or borrow them from Rodman Library here in Alliance. But I imagine there are groups in probably larger cities that get together and do this. And I think it's fun to do it and see. Other films, fresh in your collection.
Now you can find yours pretty largely to the comedy shorts. Is that it?
I would say. I would say some.
And your supply source is what for these?
Right now, about three of them: Blackhawk Films in Davenport, Iowa, and occasionally Castle Films in New York. And there's also Select Film Library in New York. They offer quite a few sound feature films at the present time. And also Columbia Pictures in New York has a branch, so to speak, from the Hollywood production part of it. They have offices in New York and sell many of their 20-minute sound comedies in New York. Those are mainly the three or four that I use at the present time.
Well, I've seen a couple times, and the fidelity was quite good. Is this true overall? They reproduce these old shorts. They come out pretty good.
It varies. It depends if they're printing from a good negative stock or fine grain negative. Of course, all of these originally were 35mm in theaters years ago, and they've been reduced to 16mm and then to Super 8, which is the big trend now. We're getting away from the regular 8 and moving into Super 8.
Now, what's Super 8? Do you want to explain just a bit?
Super 8 film is the very exact same width as regular 8mm, but the sprocket holes in Super 8 are reduced, and this allows for larger frame on the film. You get a brighter, larger image in Super 8 than you used to in standard 8. So that's mainly the difference. And for the sound, of course, the film is striped, magnetically striped for the sound reproduction on it, as opposed to the optical track for the 16-35mm type film. And at one time in the late 20s, there was a 28mm film, which has since passed from the scene. Now we're all in either 70 or 35mm, 16 or 8, in those four ranges.
And you can find your collection pretty much through the comedy element.
I do have right now one of the early movie tune newsreels from 1929 in sound. It was one of the early ones from movie tune, which runs about 9 minutes in sound. It's interesting to see it it appeared originally in the theaters, in many of these early theaters in Alliance. And I have about a 10-minute reel on Pearl Harbor that Lowell Thomas narrates from the Movie Tune archives, which includes thousands and thousands of feet of film over the years, and was probably the leading newsreel producer over the years for the newsreel, which, as you said earlier, was done away with, I think, by television.
Yes.
The newsreel now in the theater is all, but it's all vanished.
Yes. Well, this has been most interesting. It's been a good survey, Ron. I appreciate your time coming in, your interest, and I must admit, I don't visit the motion picture theaters like most people, like we used to. And
right,
it's,
and we've gotten away from a lot with television.
So it is a bit of nostalgia, and it's nice to know there's someone like you that people could call on. You're available to show these, aren't you?
Right. I've had churches around Alliance here, and schools, and different groups, church Sunday school groups, and so on, and individual showings at my home and so on.
Well, it's nice to know that. At least you can, with the hang-ups today, you can relax and chuckle a bit at some of these antics. To me, at least, maybe I'm an old square, they're just about as funny as they used to be. Some of those were past masters at the comic technique. They were really good with it.
Many people, especially the older ones, that have come up to me afterwards and said they don't make them like
right
that
they used
anymore.
To. Yes.
And I think it's true. We've gotten away from the slapstick comedy.
Right.
Into the more straight stand-up comedy type, and I think there's been a lot lost there over the years.
Well, maybe the pendulum will swing and we'll come back to that. Well, thanks ever so much. Appreciate this, and I know the time effort that went into all your research, and appreciate it very much.
Thank you.